Okay, let's start. Om Tat Sat. Om. In India today, it's Shivaratri, so. So people will be at the temple all day and there'll be a lot of chanting. Why don't we chant the Dakshinamurti Mula Mantra and then the Dakshinamurti Mantra. We'll do each one 11 times just to invoke the grace of Shiva as in the form of Dakshinamurti on this very sacred day. So just let yourself visualize the form of Dakshinamurti as the first teacher, and then bring into your mind our whole parampara, all the way down to Swamiji, Shankara, Swamiji, and all of us, and the flow of this knowledge. Dakshinamurtaye tubhyam patamula nivasine dhyanaika niratangaya namo rudraya shambhave hrim om hrim Dakshinamurtaye tubhyam patamula nivasine dhyanaika niratangaya Namo Rudraya Shambhave Hrim Om Om Hrim Dakshinamurtaye Tubhyam Patamula Nivasine Dhyanaika Niratangaya Namo Rudraya Shambhave Hrim Om Om Hrim Dakshinamurtaye tubhyam vatamula nivasine dhyanaika niratangaya namo rudraya shambhave hrim om om hrim Dakshinamurtaye tubhyam vatamula nivasine dhyanaika niratangaya Namo Rudraya Shambhave Hrim Om Om Hrim Dakshinamurtaye Tubhyam Patamula Nivasine Dhyanaika Niratangaya Namo Rudraya Shambhave Hrim Om Om Hrim Dakshinamurtaye Tubhyam Vatamula Nivasine Dhyanaika Niratangaya Namo Rudraya Shambhave Hrim Om Om Hrim Dakshinamurtaye tubhyam vatamula nivasine dhyanaika niratangaya namo rudraya shambhave hrim om om hrim Dakshinamurtaye tubhyam vatamula nivasine dhyanaika niratangaya namo rudraya shambhave hrim om om hrim Dakshinamurtaye tubhyam vatamula nivasine dhyanaika niratangaya namo rudraya shambhave hrim om om hrim Dakshinamurtaye tubhyam vatamula nivasine dhyanaika niratangaya namo rudraya shambhave hrim om. Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Dakshinamurtaye Mahim Shriyam Medham Prajnam Priyachaswaha. Invoking the inner friend, just let your body relax. Take some deep breaths. Gently focusing on your own presence. your mind a moment just to wander and to relax. Again, gently focusing on your own presence as that relaxation takes place. The ahankara, this I notion, is a product of ajnanam, of self-ignorance. Until I have viveka, until I can discriminate my own being from experiences that are actually known and objectified, my self-experience and my mind, for instance, are mutually superimposed upon each other. I am what I think, and what I think is me. I am what I feel, and what I feel is me. Same with my body, the ahankara, my sense of I, is superimposed onto the body, and the body is superimposed onto me. I am the body standpoint, I am the body, and therefore I am whatever qualities the body has. I can be sick, or I can be healthy, I could be young, I can be old. So the body is me, and I am whatever the condition of the body is. We use the word upadhi. Wherever I can have an ahankara, this I notion, that functions as an upadhi. My body is an upadhi because I take my being to be the body. They are one and the same thing to me. I take my emotions to be me. They're one and the same thing. My thoughts, my feelings, these are all acting as upadhis, as points of identity. When I gain knowledge, the ahankara, this I notion, becomes mithya. It's a functional way of speaking and acting in the world, but I don't take myself to be that. So now, as you sit here experiencing your body, let yourself be aware of the body. In experiencing the body, notice you are also experiencing yourself, not as an object, but just as your own self-evident being. So for you, there is the experience of the body, and there is the self-recognition of your being. So now when I say the word I, just in your mind let you mentally say the word I or me, let that I go to myself, the truth of myself. I say I am, who am I labeling? If I am labeling the body as me, and yet I have knowledge, that's mithya. I'm going to the store, I'm attending class. But if I'm talking about me, myself, then that I is landing on the truth of my being. Just a simple conscious being that is me. It's the same with my mind. I'm aware, for instance, of my emotions. I can be identified with the emotions and speak from the emotions. I am happy, I am sad, I am upset. For an Ajnani, there is no differentiation. That's just what I am. Right now I'm really upset. Right now I'm so happy. But for Ajnani, it's different. The I, just think I to yourself, your own being. The I resolves into you, the me. The I am doesn't land on the mind, it lands on me, the Atma, the one who is always present, who is always changeless, the one who is whole and complete. The buddhi is the one who has knowledge, who has this differentiation, for whom the buddhi is the one for whom this ajnana, this self-ignorance, has been removed. The buddhi's sense of I is Atma, is Brahman, is my own being. And it's aware of the body and the mind and the sense organs and all experiences that come and go. And so when the buddhi is speaking, it's speaking from my own being. Because the ahankara is really not there, the aham resolves into myself. The buddhi, enjoying that knowledge, relates to the mind and to the emotions and to the thoughts and to the body, to the prana, to all external experiences from that position. Because that's who I am. Unless my complexes or emotions are strong enough to temporarily overwhelm the buddhi. And then I can find myself speaking from that, from within that emotion, or from within that complex, in spite of my knowledge. But in the moment that I can objectify that overwhelm, the buddhi then, owning myself, and then come into relationship with that overwhelm in a healing way as an inner friend. That's a natural process. It takes as long as it takes, as long as there's an overwhelm or as long as there's some sort of complex or something that can get my mind into some pain of some sort. When I am able, I objectify that and come into relationship with it in a healing way. My buddhi once again, owning myself. It isn't necessary for your mind to be a perfect mind, or to think that your mind should never have any emotions or never have any overwhelm. That's not really fair. You don't ask that of the world, or if you do, it would be a very unhappy life. So everybody in the world, everybody who comes into contact with you, should be a perfect person. All of their emotions should all be in order. The way they talk to you and treat you should be perfect, perfectly in tune with you. If we were to ask that of our external experiences, we would be very unhappy people. I think it's the same with your mind. You have to be with the mind that you have, with the problems that are there, the wonderful things that are there, with the good and with the bad. It's like with the salt and the pepper. Can you speak from your own being to the external world and to the internal world? Your being is so beautiful, so non-judgmental, so just accepting Not in a verbal way, just as your very nature, your being itself. Attracts all beings. Your being attracts all beings. Your being is the attraction. That's why if I project myself onto anything in the creation, I will then run after that. We're all running after ourselves. Because I am safe. Abayam, free of any type of fear. Swamiji, in all the years that I got to be with him, I never felt that he wanted me to be different. He was always with, just with me as I was. And then would try to help if I were in pain or had some problem. But there was never any rejection or pushing away or not wanting to help. Because he always comes from that. He comes from his self. Not from his mind, his emotions, or likes and dislikes. He always comes from himself. So it's not about having the perfect mind or the perfect emotions or the perfect body or the perfect anything or the perfect people. It's about invoking your own nature, that inner friend. Toward your own emotions, your own complexes, and toward all of your experiences externally. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
Om.